A lot of people are just content just to get by, just to do the minimum of what I have to do, just to come to church on Sunday morning, that's it, put a dollar in the offering plate. But God doesn't want you there. God doesn't want you just to get by. God doesn't want you just to exist in your spiritual life. God wants you to grow. God wants you to do more. God wants you to do the best you can. So I want to give you some things today, a checklist for Christian living. And the first thing that I want to talk to you about is spending time in God's Word. Spending time in God's Word. Why? Because it's the foundation for our spiritual growth. If you're not spending time in God's Word, you're not going to grow, period. Spend time in God's Word. Psalms number 119, 105 says this, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're living in a dark world, and God's Word can be our light. God's Word can be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path when we're traversing through this dark world. And we're going down the uncertainties of life, and we don't know which direction to go into. It could be a light to us. I remember one time going on a youth retreat. It was a Quetta ranch down in Louisiana. And they had a big barn where they had all the chapel services and other services too. Then they had the cabins were off to the side. And all the cabins were four posts that held up a tin roof. And then they had burlap that hung for the sides. And then they had bunk beds in there, no lights. And I remember one time after we got finished on a Friday night there at that big barn, that's what they called it, the big barn, and we had a campfire service there after we met there. Then after the campfire service, we were supposed to head back to our cabins. Well, yeah, it was quite a ways down the path, and I remember a couple of us, three of us, me, Russell, and Clifton, took off. Neither one of us had a flashlight like a bunch of idiots. And we got to going down that path. So, well, we could stay on the path pretty good. I said, well, I think we could find our way through the woods to our cabin. So we got going down that path. And before we knew it, we was off the path. We didn't know which direction to go in. We was stumbling over roots and trees and into briar bushes and everything else, trying to find our way back on the path of where we could get to our cabin. And finally we saw a light off in the distance. And we said, well, let's make it for that light. I said, we don't know who it is, but it's probably maybe one of the other cabins. With any luck, it might be the girls' cabin. We didn't know. But just kidding. But we followed that light, tripping over tree roots, bushes, everything else. Finally, we got to that where that light was, and it was the porch light to the director's cabin. And we knocked on the door, and we was all scratched up and skin up and everything else. And the director came out and looked at us, and he said, y'all are lost, aren't you? He said, yeah, we got lost. We got off the path. We didn't have a flashlight. We didn't have anything. And so he got his flashlight out, and then he took us to our cabin. And with his flashlight, we could see the trails, the paths, really good. Same way in our lives. We're going through a darkness in our lives. We're going through this dark world, and we may not be able to see the way unless we have God's Word with us. And letting God's Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Bible says, also says in Psalms 119, verse 11, says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know how to fight temptation when it comes along? By spending time in God's word. Spending time. That's what David said. He says, "Your word have I hid in my heart." Spend time in God's word. You know, and I want to challenge you this next year. You know, and I've read the Bible through about four times. My grandmother was a master of it. I mean, she, every year she would start in January, the 1st of January, and she would read the entire Bible all the way through every year. And she would always call me up and tell me about things that she's read. And I don't know how many times she read the Bible through, but she would always find something new. And every time she found something new, she'd tell me about it. She'd put me to shame. But I want to challenge you this year to read your Bible through. You know, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, which comes to about three chapters a day. You know, and everybody has time to read three chapters a day. Think about it. And you say, "Well, Pastor, what about Psalms number 119? It's that long." Yeah, I know it's got 150 verses in it. But trust me, it all works out in the end. I know Psalms 119 is a long chapter, but the chapter right before Psalms number 119, chapter 118, only has two verses in it. And there's a couple of other Psalms that only has two or three verses in it. So it all works out in the end, trust me. You know, spend time reading your Bible. Three chapters a day is all it takes. You know, you can read one chapter in the morning, one chapter at noon on your lunch break, and one chapter in the evening before you go to bed. Spend time in God's Word. I want to challenge you this week to read your Bible through this year. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Word of God. Get into it this year. Make a commitment to get into God's Word, to read it. So, well, I can't understand all of it. That's okay. You don't have to understand it. Just read it. In Revelation chapter 1, God says He'll bless you if you just read it. You don't have to understand it. I mean, my Sunday school class today started tackling the book of Ezekiel. You talk about a hard book to understand. Ezekiel is one of those. Hopefully, by the end of these 12 weeks, I'll make it as clear as mud to them. But we're going to read it, and we're going to study it, and we're going to enjoy it. You don't have to understand it. Just read God's Word. I know sometimes pastors say the Bible gets boring. I say, yeah, I know it gets boring sometimes, especially when you're going through all the begats. That gets boring, but you read it anyway. Because you know what? You're going to get through the begats, and you're going to get into something interesting. I know Leviticus can be boring too, because you get into all the rules and the regulations and the laws and the ceremonies and the sacrifices and all that. It gets boring. That's okay. The more you read God's Word, the more it's going to illuminate you and the more you're going to see. And then one of these days, something's going to click in your mind and you think, whoa. Well, that's interesting. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you something. You're going to say, whoa, I never thought about it like that before. I never saw that before. But I encourage you to read your Bible. I challenge you this year to read your Bible through. Second thing is to communicate with God. Simply put it, pray. I encourage you to pray. Matthew 7:7 says this, is ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Pray. Matthew 21:22 says this, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer. And here's the key word. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. A lot of times we pray, but do we really believe God's going to answer that prayer? You know, sometimes I think we pray, and we pray for something, and in the back of our minds we think, yeah, right, like God's going to do this. But Jesus says, pray believing, and you will receive. John 14:13-14 says this, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We need to be a people of prayer. You know, some people wondering, they always come to me and says, I'm not growing in my spiritual life. I'm just not getting anything. And my first question is, how much time do you spend in reading your Bible? How much time do you spend in prayer? And most of the time, if they are honest with me, they'll tell me not. I'm not spending any time. You're not going to grow spiritually if you're not reading your Bible and if you're praying. I want to challenge you today to make a commitment this year to pray at least 15 minutes a day. As a pastor, the 15 minutes that I'm having a hard time even just praying for 15 seconds. How do you expect me to pray for 15 minutes? Well, I'll show you here. Here's how you spend 15 minutes in prayer. Start off with worship. What can you praise God for? Think about things that you could praise God for. Certainly there are a lot of things that you could praise God for. Take out a sheet of paper and write them down each day. Say, this is what I can praise God for today. Write them down. Praise God. Worship God. Secondly, thanks. What can I be thankful for God for today? Write it down. There are a lot of things to be thankful for when you think about it. Nextly, repent. Repent. That's telling God you're sorry for your sins. Tell God, hey, I messed up today. I got angry with somebody. Or I failed to witness to somebody today. Or I did this. Or I did this. Or I forgot this. God, forgive me. Tell God that you're sorry for your sins. Write them down. Fourthly, pray for others. That's called intercession, when you're praying for other people and their needs. And certainly you can look around you in this auditorium and there are a lot of people that you can pray for. There are a lot of people with needs in this auditorium. And you could pray for them. Write their names down. Write their needs down and pray for them. Then nextly, pray for yourself. What are some things that you need? What are some things you like God to do for you and for your family? Pray for yourself. Then it comes back to worship. Worship God. End with worship, praising God. Once again, if you do those things, what you're going to find out, 15 minutes isn't long enough. You're going to be spending more time in God. I challenged in a church I pastored in Hicksville, Ohio. A guy there by the name of Jim. And we did a study on prayer. And he told me, he said, I'm not a praying man, but I'd like to learn how to pray. So he did a study on prayer. And I challenged him to do these things. And he came to me after we got in on that study, and we're several weeks into that study. He said, "Pastor," he says, "I'm learning more and more how to pray." He said, "I'm doing exactly just the way you told me to do it." He said, "But the only place that I can find to have a quiet prayer time is in the shower." And he said, "But," he said, "the good thing is," he said, "that my prayer time is getting longer and longer and longer because I'm finding more things to pray for." He said, "The bad news is my water bill keeps going up." Spend time with prayer and God. I challenge you that this year, spend 15 minutes with God every day. Just talking to Him. Praying about these things. The next one, number three. Let's have the spirit of repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants us to have a heart of repentance. There are too many Christians in this day and age that have become too complacent in their sin. Whether it's a little sin or a big sin, it doesn't matter in God's eyes. Sin is sin. A little white lie is just as serious with God as murder is. And a lot of times we as Christians, we become so complacent with sin in our lives and with sin around us, we just almost come numb to it. It's like the old story goes that you could take a frog and you can take some boiling water and you can drop that frog in boiling water and it'll hop right back out because it's hot. But you could take that frog, put it in some cold water, and just slowly start turning that temperature up. And what happens? That frog gets relaxed. And that frog gets thinking, "Boy, this feels good," without realizing that he is being cooked. Until you can turn that temperature all the way up and boil that frog to death. That's the way we are as Christians. And some of you are like that in the shower too. You start off with that water just kind of tepid and it gets to feel good, and all of a sudden you're reaching over and you're turning that hot water up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more because you're getting used to it. That's the way sin is. But God wants us to have a spirit of repentance. Our sin should always be moving. So what do you mean by that? Our sin should always be moving. The fact is that every time we sin, every time we mess up, every time we stumble and fall, our next step should be right away is to take that sin to the cross. Take that sin and lay it at the feet of Jesus. We shouldn't hang on to it. But we should bring it to Jesus, repent of it, give it to Him. And let Him take it. So many times we just want to hang on to that sin, not let go of it, not repent of it. But that sin will become like a cancer to us and just eat us alive if we don't get rid of it and we don't repent of it. And repentance means going in the opposite direction. We give it to Jesus and we forget about it. We let Him have it. And God says, "I'll forgive you of your sins as far as the east is from the west." And for those of you who want to try and figure that out, how far that is, forget it. You never will figure how far that is. But God can take away your sins. If you're here today and you're without Jesus, and you're without forgiveness, let me tell you something. You got a loving God that's ready to forgive you.
no matter what you've done. So, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, I may not, but I know what a Savior He is. And I know what a loving and forgiving God that He is. And He's ready to forgive you if you come to Him in repentance. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's the great God that we serve. If we confess, He forgives. And that's a wonderful thing. That's an exciting thing. Fourthly, find a place to serve. Find a place. I challenge you to this year, find a place to serve somewheres. Matthew 7:16 says this, that you shall know them by their fruits. Where are you serving at? What kind of fruit are you bearing? You know, I wrote up there, we will be identified by what we do for Christ. People are going to look at us and know us by what we are doing for Christ. And the question is, are you doing anything for Christ? Can people look at you and know that you serve God, that you serve Christ? Because they always know that you are doing something for Him, that you're serving Him in some kind of capacity, somewheres doing something for Him. There's a lot of places to serve around here, especially with us expanding now, going to different sites. There's a lot of places to fit in. We have a lot of ministries that you can fit into, and we're getting ready to start more ministries that you can plug into. Find a place to serve somewheres. You know, we should be using our abilities to serve others and to serve Christ. God gave you special abilities, and you can serve Him. So a pastor looked at me and said, I'm old. I can't do much of anything. I'll tell you this, you realize Moses was 80 years old when God called him, and he served God for 40 years. And at 120 years old, he had to go climb a mountain to go to his own funeral. Think about that. So I can't do much of anything. You can pray. You can pray for those that are still able to serve, those that are still able to go forth. You can serve, you can give. There is always something for you to do, whether it's just praying for somebody, encouraging somebody. You can do that because God can use that. But find a place to serve. Find a place to plug in. Just to put in a plug for all the Sunday school classes. Sunday school is a good place to start. Plug yourself in the Sunday school class. We got 6 Sunday school teachers. I'd love to have you. So I can party at my house. Just kidding. Well, find a place to serve. Whether it's just helping out in some area, find a place to serve. And lastly, take advantage of opportunities to share the gospel. Mark 16:15 says this, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Share the gospel at every chance you get. Don't pass up opportunities to share the gospel. God may bring somebody into your life that needs to hear the gospel, and it may be the only chance they ever have of hearing the gospel. Think about that. Be ready to share. Beth and I went to a Dollar General store yesterday. And I was getting stuff to make that big palm branch and poster board. And I had to run back because I grabbed a poster board that didn't have a price tag on it. So I had to come back and, And when I got back up to the cash register, Beth was trying to explain to the person about what Palm Sunday was all about and about Jesus dying on the cross and everything else. I was proud of her because she was trying to tell the guy. Obviously, the guy never went to church, didn't know anything about it, and Beth was trying to explain to him and stuff. And so, there was an opportunity. Maybe spark some interest in the guy there at the cash register. But you never know. Death, isn't just comes to old people. Death doesn't discern against people. I did funerals of people, attended funerals, did funerals of people in their 90s. And I did a funeral of a 4-year-old boy. You can't give me a 24-hour guarantee that you're going to be alive tomorrow or somebody else is going to be alive tomorrow. That's why we need to share the gospel with every chance we got. I was listening to a pastor a couple of days ago, and he was telling the story that he had one of the deacons in his church share the gospel with a young man. He was in his 20s, I think 25 years old. And he said that he led him to the Lord. And he said, and they brought him to the church. And he said that, and they baptized him. And he said he got involved in the church just volunteering for whatever he could. He said he was just, one of those guys that just really wanted to serve, and he was a new Christian, and he was just eating things up. The pastor said, I never would have believed 2 weeks later I'd be doing his funeral. His life was snuffed out. And I thought, what happened if that deacon would have never witnessed to that boy? Where would he be at right now? You see, you never know what opportunities God may give you. Take advantage of each opportunity to share the gospel. And you don't have to be an affluent speaker. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to know your Bible inside and out to share the gospel. Just tell people what God did for you and what God can do for them. Paul the Apostle was probably the greatest soul winner ever lived on the face of this earth. And you know how he shared the gospel? Just like I just said. He just simply told them what God did for him and what God could do for them. That's it. If you can't share the gospel with them, at least you can invite them to church. Get them to church. And we got enough things going on here at church. You can get them to a church function. But share the gospel with anything else. Then lastly, the last slide there, Chris. If you commit to do these things this year, I can guarantee you it'll transform you. It'll transform your family. It'll transform your work. It'll transform your school. It'll transform this church or whatever church you go to. It'll transform your town. It'll transform your world. So I challenge you to commit to those 5 things this year and to study those things there. Spend time in God's Word. Communicate with God. Have a spirit of repentance. Find a place to serve. Take an opportunity to share the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come now, we think about these 5 things and how we need to have them incorporated into our lives. And I just pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit will press upon our hearts to do these things this next year. and that it may transform our lives, transform our church, transform our community. And I pray now, dear Father, there's somebody here that may be struggling with some of these things. I just ask, dear Father, that they'll just come to you and just lay those things at their feet, to know that you, through your Holy Spirit, can teach them how to do those things and how to understand your word and how to share the gospel, and to have a heart of repentance, to teach how to pray. And I just pray, dear Father, that they'll come to you. And I pray that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that you are the God that forgives, that you are a loving God, and that you can forgive any and every sin if they just come to you with a repentant heart and confess those sins. I just pray that you would give them the courage to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. I encourage you, if there is a need, maybe you've been struggling with one of these five things in your life, maybe it's time to come give it over to Jesus. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you never ask God for forgiveness and for Him to come to you, into your life, I encourage you to come. I'll be down front if you need some.